Greetings, this is Jeff Riddle, pastor of Christ Reformed Baptist Church in Louisa, Virginia. And this is an audio version of a book review that I wrote that appeared in the Midwestern Journal of Theology, Volume 18, Number 1, in spring of 2019. And it can be found on pages 129 to 135. The review is of the Holy Bible, Modern English Version, edited by James F. Lindsay and published by Charisma Media, Charisma House Book Group in 2014, and it is 640 pages in length. Here now is the review. The Modern English Version, MEV, is a contemporary English translation of the Bible. This version is distinct, however, for several reasons. First, and most importantly, it is a translation based on the traditional original language texts of the Christian scriptures, the Hebrew Masoretic texts of the Old Testament and the Greek Textus Receptus of the New Testament, rather than the modern critical texts which form the basis for most modern vernacular translations. Second, it also aims to be an updating of the King James Version, KJV, of the Bible, the venerable English translation that was based on these same traditional original language texts. The MEV's preface to the reader notes that the MEV was produced by the Committee of Bible Translation under Chief Editor James F. Lindsay. The Old Testament Editor-in-Chief was N. Blake Hearson of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, and the New Testament Editor-in-Chief Edward W. Watson of Oral Roberts University. The preface explains that this project began among military chaplains in the United Kingdom and the United States who formed this Bible translation committee motivated by a desire, quote, to provide an update by military chaplains for the troops so they could understand the King James Version better, end quote. As the project progressed, the chaplains recruited qualified academic scholars and eventually, quote, the target audience grew from the military to the entire English-speaking world, end quote. In the end, 47 translators, scholars, and chaplains from a variety of Protestant denominations participated in the project. The translation work began in 2005. The New Testament was completed in 2011, and the Old Testament in 2014. The MEV represents an evangelical theological perspective. It is published by Charisma House, a firm devoted to a contemporary, continuationist, broad evangelical theological perspective. The preface notes, quote, the translators are devoted to making a good translation better and ensuring that the modern English version is an accurate and responsible update of the King James Version, end quote. A publisher's note in the front matter adds, quote, like all translations of the Bible, this translation of the scriptures is subject to human limitations and imperfections. Recognizing these limitations, the publishers sought God's guidance and wisdom throughout the project. Our prayer is that he will use this translation for the benefit of the church and his kingdom, end quote. The MEV also includes a dedication to Queen Elizabeth II as defender of the faith. The text of the MEV is divided into paragraph units. The editors have included section headings throughout. For example, the opening section at Genesis 1:1 is headed The Creation. And a new section begins at Genesis 2:4 with the heading Adam and Eve. There are occasional notes giving headings for larger units. For example, at Matthew 5:1, the heading reads The Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5-7. And some chapters have multiple headings, like in Matthew chapter 5, which divides the chapter into no less than 10 subunits. From the Beatitudes for Matthew 5:2-11 to Love for Enemies for Matthew 5:43-48. Many of these headings, especially in the Synoptic Gospels, provide cross-references to parallel material. Though these divisions of the text into these subunits and the provision of editorial headings may well serve to promote ease of reading, such insertions also run the risk of confusing the beginning reader as to what is part of the inspired text and what is not. To the MAV's credit, editorial headings are not used in the Psalms, which include only, when present, the traditional titles found in the Hebrew text. The MAV also chooses to set apart portions of the text in poetic layout to distinguish it from other portions that are assumed to be prose. This is true not only in clearly poetic portions like the Psalms, but in numerous other sections throughout the text. So, for example, the Song of Mary in Luke 2, verses 46 through 55, is set out in poetic stanzas. Paul's description of Christ as servant in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11, is also set out in poetic stanza format, and even includes a footnote explaining, quote, 6 through 11, a hymn about Jesus' attitude of servanthood, end quote. Many such decisions may well be appropriate, but these editorial interpretations also reflect choices with which all may not agree. While many have assumed, for example, that Philippians 2, 5 through 11 is a poetic portion of an early hymn that may even predate Paul, it remains a hypothesis that has not been definitively proven. As for Old Testament quotations in the New Testament, the MEV does not use italic, but indicates direct quotations by use of quotation marks and includes footnote references to the sources of the citations. Quotation marks are also used to indicate direct speech in the MEV. So, John 4:26 reads, Jesus said to her, quote, I who speak to you am he, end quote. In cases like this, the quotation is indeed rather obvious, but others are far less clear. For example, in the MEV text of John 3:27 through 30, a citation from John the Baptist is enclosed in quotation marks, while the verses that follow, verses 31 through 36, are not. Is it possible, however, that these verses might also be attributed to John the Baptist? Or do they reflect, as the MEV apparently assumes by its punctuation, that the final verses are spoken in the voice of John the Apostle? This illustrates the interpretive challenges of punctuation. One might consider it a strength of the KJV that it does not use quotation marks for direct speech, and so it leaves the interpretation of where a quotation begins and ends with the reader, as it is in the original text as well, which also does not use quotation marks. As noted, the MEV is distinct among modern translations in that it follows the original language texts, which were the basis of the KJV, and not the modern critical texts. With regard to the Old Testament, the MEV generally follows the traditional Hebrew Masoretic text and the Protestant translation tradition based on this text, as reflected in the KJV. Here are some examples of how this commitment shapes the MEV translation. First, consider the MEV rendering of 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 19. Then he struck down the men of Beth Shemesh, because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. He struck 50,070 men, and the people lamented, because the Lord had struck the people with a great slaughter. The MEV sticks here with a rendering based on the Hebrew text, and does not add an expansion found in the Septuagint. And the sons of Jeconiah were not pleased with the men of Beth Shemesh when they looked at the ark of the Lord, which some modern translations, like the Jerusalem Bible and the New English Bible, have incorporated into their translations. In addition, it follows a more literal understanding of the Hebrew text in saying that the Lord struck down 50,070 men, whereas some modern translations, like the New International Version, NIV, and the English Standard Version, ESV, read that only 70 were struck down. Next, take Psalm 145, verse 13, in the MEV, which reads, Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Contrast this with the ESV, which adds a half verse in brackets. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Bracket, the Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works, end bracket. Whereas the MEV sticks with the traditional Hebrew text, the ESV adds this half verse, verse 13b, which attempts to correct a broken acrostic in the Hebrew with a reading which appears in the Septuagint and Syriac, but in only one Hebrew manuscript. It may be noted, however, that the MEV does not always strictly follow the Protestant Old Testament translation tradition as reflected in the KJV. An example of this may be found in the MEV rendering of 1 Samuel 13:1, which reads, "Saul was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 42 years over Israel." A footnote in the MEV explains, "Lit, or literally, the son of a year was Saul in his ruling, and 2 years he ruled over Israel." Most translations read in Saul's age and length of reign from external evidence Josephus, or from the New Testament, Paul, who mentions a 40-year reign for Saul in Acts 13:21. This ends the footnote. Though this footnote explains the literal rendering of the Hebrew, and the text does place the suggested additional numbers 30 and 40 in italic, the MEV does not follow the KJV, which reads, "Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel." This is also the reading followed in the Geneva Bible. One wonders why the MEV did not more closely follow the Hebrew text here, as do the older English translations. With regard to the New Testament, the MEV follows the Greek Textus Receptus, or TR. This means, among other things, that it includes many traditional passages which are relegated to the footnotes in most modern translations, including the doxology of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, verse 13b, the angel troubling the water at Bethesda in John 5, 3b through 4, the confession of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8:37, and the three heavenly witnesses passage, or Coma Johannaeum, in 1 John 5, 7b through 8a. With regard to the Coma, one of the most contested verses in the TR, the MEV adds a footnote which reads, "The earliest Greek manuscripts lack 'in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and the three are one. There are three that testify on earth.'" The MEV, likewise, generally follows the distinctive readings taken from the TR and reflected in the KJV. So, in the opening to 1 Timothy 3:16, the MEV reads, "God was revealed in the flesh." In Revelation 16:5, it reads, "Who is and was and is to be." And in Revelation 22:19, it reads, "Book of Life." In other places, however, the MEV departs from some of the classic KJV renderings of the TR. In John 1:18, for example, whereas the KJV reads, "the only begotten Son," the MEV simply reads, "the only Son." With regard to longer disputed passages in the New Testament, the MEV does not place the traditional ending of Mark 16:9 through 20, in brackets, or insert the so-called shorter ending of Mark, now included in the footnotes of the ESV and in the main text of the New Living Translation, NLT. No footnote appears in the MEV to interpret the text of the ending of Mark. It also does not place in brackets the woman taken in adultery passage, the pericope adulteri, of John 7:53 through 8:11, as has become common in most modern translations based on the modern critical text. It does, however, add a footnote at John 7:53, which reads, "The earliest Greek manuscripts lack 7:53 through 8:11. Defenders of the TR might contest whether the description earliest is appropriate here. How do we evaluate the MEV as a translation? Again, this translation aims to be an update of the KJV. This means that it follows most of the familiar readings found in the Tyndale KJV tradition, while updating various elements of vocabulary and style. So in the MEV, "thee" and "thou" becomes "you." "Penny" becomes "denarius." See Matthew chapter 20, verse 2. "Twain" becomes "two." See, for example, Matthew 5:41. "Prevent" becomes "precede." See, for example, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. "Charity" becomes "love." See, for example, 1 Corinthians 13:1 and following, etc. Likewise, in the MEV, the double amen is rendered truly, truly, as opposed to the KJV's verily, verily. See, for example, John 1, verse 51. Other clarifying updates were also made in the MEV to some noteworthy KJV renderings, including the use of the skull for the KJV's Calvary, from the Latin Calvaria, at Luke 23:33, office for bishopric at Acts 1:20, and Passover for Easter at Acts 12:4. The MEV does retain, however, the memorable KJV rendering of Paul's stock phrase, God forbid. See, for example, Romans chapter 6, verse 2. In addition, the MEV uses more discrete terms for some words and phrases in the KJV that contemporary readers might see as blue language. So in the MEV, ass becomes donkey. See, for example, Zechariah 9:9. He that pisseth against a wall becomes all males. See 1 Kings 14:10, compare 2 Kings 9:8, although the KJV is a more literal rendering. Whore becomes prostitute, Revelation 17:1. Bastards becomes illegitimate children, Hebrews 12:8, etc. In this regard, one might note that in 1 Corinthians 6:9, the KJV's nor effeminate nor abusers of themselves with mankind is rendered in the MEV as nor male prostitutes nor homosexuals. In general, the reader will find the MEV translators have provided a translation that attempts to retain the memorable phrasings and grandeur of the venerable KJV. Here are a few examples for comparison. Genesis 1:1 in the KJV reads, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." In the MEV it reads, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." Psalm 23:1, the KJV reads, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The MEV reads, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." John 1:1, the KJV reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The MEV reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John 3:16 in the KJV reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In the MEV it reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Romans 8:28 in the KJV reads, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." In the MEV it reads, "We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Philippians 4:13 in the KJV reads, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." In the MEV it reads, "I can do all things because of Christ who strengthens me." The renderings of the MEV, therefore, will be comfortable and familiar for readers who know well the KJV. One more distinctive characteristic of the MEV that should be noted is the decision to render divine pronouns with initial capital letters. See his, capital H, and him, capital H, in John 3:16 above. In this, it follows the practice used in the New King James Version, the NKJV of the Bible. Though one might respect the piety of the sentiment, this is not a practice reflected in the biblical manuscripts, and it also introduces interpretive decisions that might perhaps be better left to the reader. In this regard, the MEV rendering of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 might be challenged, in that it reproduces a notorious usage of the divine pronoun, perhaps tinged with a dispensational outlook, which is also found in the NKJV. The MEV translates, "Only he who is now restraining will do so until he, capital H, is taken out of the way," thus assuming that the restrainer, he, capital H, is the deity. This might be so, but it is not explicitly made clear in the text. And so the KJV rendering, "Only he who now letteth will let until he, lowercase h, be taken out of the way is, in the opinion of the reviewer, superior. Though the MEV is a contemporary English translation of the Bible, its differences from other modern translations are significant. This is the first widely available modern translation since the New King James Version, completed 1982, which aims to follow the traditional original language texts and emulate the translation style and wording of the KJV. It is, in fact, similar in many ways to the NKJV, and thus shares in some of its strengths and weaknesses. The MEV, no doubt, reflects the ongoing popularity of the King James Version in the English-speaking world, and the respect it continues to enjoy among evangelical Christians despite decades of the marketing of translations based on the modern critical text. The MEV could easily be read and used in churches that ordinarily use the KJV or NKJV. It might even enhance and further the appreciation of the Tyndale King James Version tradition. For these reasons, it is a distinctive and even refreshing addition to a crowded Bible market. Here ends the review. To receive other book reviews like this one, sermons, and podcasts, you can subscribe to Christ Reformed Baptist Church's sermon audio feed on iTunes by searching for Christ Reformed Baptist Church. You can also find articles and book reviews like this one in a written format by going to the blog jeffriddle.net. Take care and God bless.